Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Oh, so wonderful to be with you. I really have missed you, and it feels like it's been a lot longer than 2 weeks, doesn't it? Wow, it's incredible to me. Now, we don't have a lot of people on the call today, so I'm just going to wait a minute before I launch in. But I had a wonderful holiday, just 2 weeks of unplugging. It was fantastic, and I want to hear how everything is with you all. Anybody have anything to share? Anything at all you want to let me know about or share with the group? Good stuff. I know Milica has shared a development that was a bit of a shock, and I'm so sorry about that. I don't know if you're on the call here. I hope you are, but we're all thinking of you. I know how hard it is when something comes out of the blue like that, and we're just shocked, and it's very hard. I so understand. But and I want to use, in fact, if it's okay, a little bit of that experience when things come out of the blue and they feel horrible, and they feel like, you know, it's the worst thing in the world. You know, I lived that. I was laid off myself, and it was a true crisis. Knock you to your knees crisis. And there was no way that I was seeing this any good in that. None. And it took me a long time to actually see that it was a total blessing. Total blessing. And I really believe that if we can hold open our heart to see what happens to us as what is it about this that I'm going to look back in 5 years and thank the universe. I think if we can hang on to that perspective, it's life-changing. And, you know, I talk to people who don't feel this way and say, well, things don't always work out, and that I don't want to believe that. I'm mad, you know. And I understand that, but this is what and people who say this to me, people in my family even, you know, they're pessimists. They don't want to see that it's going to work out. But here's the deal, in my opinion. You can't change it, right? You can only change how you think about it. So what's going to be a more productive, positive, expansive way to think about it? That it was the worst thing in the world, or that you're going to get something out of it? And this is for anything that happens in your life. And I think that there's no question when you can be more positive. And there's research. You know, I talk about Sean Aker's research and Michelle Gielen's research, positivity research, that when you can develop these habits of positivity, life changes. I mean, they're bringing it even into businesses, and businesses are making millions of dollars more. Not that that's the only core outcome, but everything changes when you can be more positive about what's happening in your life. So let's really practice that in 2016. Let's do that. Anybody want to share anything? Anything that's happened? Anything good? Anything confusing? Anything at all? Star 2. Yay, somebody wants to share. Who's this?
Hey, it's Sue Marie.
Hi, Sue Marie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
What's going on with you?
I have my dream project.
What? Tell us more.
Well, I have my new boss.
Yeah.
And I had asked him, because you had said, oh, you got to ask for what you want. So
yep.
I asked him for what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the best project in the entire company.
You mean you asked and you got so quickly?
Yep.
What happened? Let's hear about it. Let's learn from it. How did you ask? What did you do? How'd you have that conversation?
I said, you know, Mike, I love doing all this stuff for you, but, you know, I bet you if you had that web development project that I'm hearing about, and you had a real go-getter and somebody who is a team player, visionary, that drives things to fruition, I bet you'd be very successful, wouldn't you?
That's putting it like, you know, when you go to a store and they say, would you like to save 20% and sign up for a credit card? And you're like, you feel ridiculous saying no. I love it. What did he say?
He said, you know, I think I need you to do other things, but let me see. And so I guess things come to, what happens is how things come to me. Things come to a crunch, and then all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, we need somebody to make this happen. And it landed with me.
Oh, my gosh.
2 weeks.
And how, 2 weeks?
10 business. From the
what, say it again?
10 business days. That's it.
So from the time you asked to the time you got?
Yes.
Oh, my. See, there you go. You're the walking role model for us. Oh, I could cry.
Yeah, and I just, you know, typed up some stuff and threw it out to everybody. Don't know if this is what you want, but here's a beginning. They just need somebody that, you know, can draw the vision in front of them and then start it and get, and start driving it and be the engine.
Oh my
gosh. Create a vision.
Let me ask you this. You know, on these calls, I say that it is literally that easy to ask, to get the courage. It's not simple. Well, it's simple. It's not easy, but to ask. To get the courage to ask for what you want, articulate it, make the case for it. It's simple. But what do you think? Do you think you would have been able to do this 6 months ago?
I had a different boss then. She just kept on shutting me down.
I see. And do you
wasn't
think
even
anything
allowed
changed? Do you think anything changed within you to be able to do this?
I'm to the point where it's like, but what they're going to say is no.
What's the big deal? Oh, gosh. How wonderful. Oh, congrats.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you and happy for you. Will you keep us posted how it goes?
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing. What a happy New Year story, right?
Yep.
Great, 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 great. Thank you so much.
Love it.
All right. Anybody else have a win or not a win or anything you want to share? So I really do believe it's that easy. However, I think for many of us, the readiness isn't there. The belief in ourselves, the ability to articulate what we really want, to have the courage to put your hand up, even though you're not even 100% sure you're going to rock at it, it takes things. It takes being evolved. So you did it, Sue Marie. I'm so happy. All right. Let me just look at the Q&A and see if anybody's submitted anything. Nothing yet. Okay, then let's go to the slides and let's talk about this wonderful topic. Now, we're in the let-go phase of our program, and we're on week 9 here, and we're talking about strengthening your power, 5 keys to powering up. And, you know, I say this every time. Every time I give these classes, I'm in a different state of mind, a different place in my business, a different series of challenges. But I want to talk about power in a little bit of a different way after I go through these slides and after I share what the video is talking about. I want to talk to you about where I see that I lose my power. And it's in subtle ways, and they're often, it's not conscious. I'm not aware of it usually unless I meditate, unless I pull myself away from the crushing busy schedule and distractions of work. I have to be in a different place, in a different frame of mind to see where I've lost power. And when I do detach and meditate and be quiet, it just gets so clear. It's so clear. So let's talk about what I'm talking about here. The key takeaway today is you are inherently capable of acting as the author of your life, but are you behaving that way? So what are we talking about? What is power, and why is that so important to have? And what's going on with women, why we don't have it? And we don't, many of us. And you know that I don't mean to paint every woman with the same brush, but I see thousands of women a year. And so this is what I think. What is power? There's a million definitions, but I like these. The ability to accomplish, create, or manifest what you desire, what you vision, what you long for. It's also another definition is strength, to exert force. And I don't mean force against somebody. I mean force to bring something into the world, to bring something about, to create it in the three-dimensional reality, not just dream about it. A lot of us are amazing at dreaming. But it's a very, we've talked about this, Maria Nemeth talks about in her book, The Energy of Money, that it's light, airy energy when we're dreaming and fantasizing. The energy required in the physical world is dense energy. That's why when you're fantasizing or brainstorming, if you feel like, woohoo, I could do anything, but then try to bring that thing into the world, very different energy required. Well, all of that requires power. But I think women have been, especially my generation, I'm 55, as you know, women have been taught some negative things about power, that it's harsh, that it's critical, that it's aggressive, angry, hurtful, forceful in a negative way. And we have to shift how we look at power if we want to get what we want in life. We have to embrace it. We have to expand it, or we won't get where we want to go. So why do we sometimes feel less powerful? Well, there's a lot going on. There's our, for women, there's cultural conditioning. I mean, I know I grew up not being told that it was a good thing to be powerful. That was threatening to my authority figures. I was not trained and encouraged to be powerful. No way. Even I've told this story, I was a really good tennis player, and my friends who were boys would want to beat me, and they'd want to, and they weren't on the tennis team, they weren't trained tennis players, but they wanted to say that they beat the number one girl on the tennis team. And none of them did. We'd go play, and I'd beat them. And they wouldn't be pleased. They were my friends. But my mother would say, ooh, don't beat the boys. Don't beat the boys. I feel that that's power, being number one in your game. I had a lot of power, and they wanted to knock me off that, I don't know what you call it, pedestal or that number one spot. Well, I wasn't going to relinquish it, right? But there's cultural conditioning. Ooh, tone that down. Tone that light down. There's neurobiological influences. And by that I mean from the research I've read, are neurobiologically hardwired for connection, for empathy, and there are reasons for that. So sometimes feeling powerful and being at the top of our hierarchy makes us uncomfortable. I do think in some ways it goes a little against our hardwiring. And there's, of course, rigid gender stereotypes and roles. You know, I think I mentioned this. In the fall, I went to Santa Fe to speak for the National Conference of State Legislators, the Women's Committee, and there were 50 state legislator females in the room. Four of them came up to me afterwards and said their marriages collapsed after they were elected. And one husband even said on the day she was elected, look, I was fine with you running. I'm not fine with you winning. Wow. Oof. It's power. It's all about power. That she was winning was going to change, I think, the dynamics of power in the relationship, as well as other things. And there are societal norms about power. So it's really important to open your eyes to this and read about it. And, you know, I've written about it on Forbes a lot. You can check out my blogs, my posts. The struggles women have with power are not in our heads. Powerful, forceful women are not liked. You know, we've talked about success and likability are positively correlated for men, negatively correlated for women, meaning the more successful and powerful you get as a woman, you're going to come across some haters. What are we going to do? That doesn't mean we don't become powerful. We're just going to have to navigate through that very effectively. So I like to talk about, you know, there's a lot of ways we can look at power. I like to talk about and believe it's really important to look at six areas of power if you want an amazing career and amazing life. There are six areas you've got to gain mastery over. You've got to connect to your power. The first is self-mastery. My goodness, self-mastery and control. I want to tell you, I'm just floored at, you know, the people in my life, the people I'm dealing with, what I see online, even partners that I'm communicating with. so many are not in control of themselves, and they're not in control of their emotions. So many people don't understand that you are not your emotions. So let me give you a really transparent example. You know, I'm in writing for Forbes, and in my work, I see some of the, you know, the most illustrious thought leaders in the world. And every once in a while, I'll have a feeling of jealousy. I mean, it'll be that green-eyed monster. It'll feel like envy. But that doesn't feel good. And, you know, there's a wonderful book. Have you ever heard of Abraham Hicks? And I'm forgetting. I have it on my shelf. I will think of the title. Abraham Hicks, just go read about. It's kind of a spiritual entity, Abraham, that Esther Hicks channels. It's pretty amazing stuff. But there's a book about your emotions and how they feel. And you can, by feeling your emotions, you can tell if they're leading you in a positive way or negative way. And there's even a chart of kind of the most negative emotions, and you can feel them. And envy doesn't feel good. And the minute I feel something that doesn't feel good, whether it's envy or feeling less than or getting discouraged that I'm not, you know, where I want to be, they don't feel good. The minute I feel those, a little red flag comes up. And I don't want to feel those because they're not helping me. So I will, whenever I can, sit with, let's say, the envy. What are you envious of? What do you think you don't have that this author or this speaker or TED Talk speaker has? And how do you turn this envy around because this is not helping you? But I didn't know any of that until I studied therapy and really turned myself inside and out. But you must be aware of your emotions and how they feel. If they don't feel good, you need to change them. Because when they feel bad in your gut, in your heart, in your spirit, they're not helping you, right? The second area of power, and I mean, back to that, I want to tell you, the more self-mastery and control of your emotions you have, the more power you have. You just completely change. You completely change within your discussions. You know, let's say 5 years ago when I would get a hater email, and I do, of course, you know, I hate this, you don't know what you're talking about, I thought you were different, you know, whatever it is. It used to hurt me. I used to agonize. Now, I swear that I can really just look at that, and it doesn't stay with me. It doesn't drain my power anymore. The second area of power is communicating powerfully. We've talked about this book, but I want to say it again, The Four Agreements by Dan. Oh, not Dan. I'm talking too fast. I'm going to slow down. By Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements. This little tiny book that takes about an hour and a half to read totally changed my life. It sold millions, and he has courses. He's been on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. The four agreements are: be impeccable with your word, which means impeccable comes from the root I forget the whole word, but not to sin with your words, sin against yourself and sin against others. And you know, even in the holiday season, my kids are home and I'm watching what's coming out of my mouth. And every once in a while I'll say a little snarky thing about a neighbor, and you know, that doesn't feel good either. So Don Miguel Ruiz talks about be impeccable with your word. Watch how you use your words. You know, I wrote a photo card that said your words can be either a weapon or, you know, a beacon of light. And some guy wrote, wow, Einstein, wow. He didn't like that. He didn't think that was too brilliant, but that he did exactly what I was talking about. I wanted to write him back. You just use your words as a weapon. Why don't you stop and read what this message means, pal? Anyway, interesting. Second piece, pertaining to what I just said, don't take anything personally. And a lot of people say, Kathy, really? I mean, an insult directly about how I look, or don't take it personally? Yeah, don't take it personally, because it's more about that other person than you. It's about their framework. It's about their lack of self-mastery, their emotions taking over. It's not about you, right? the third assumption that changes your life is the third agreement that changes your life is don't make any assumptions. And man, is this true. You know, about what people are dealing with, about why someone said or did what they did. Don't make any assumptions. Ask. Don't project. Just ask. Figure it out, right? And then the fourth is always do your best. If you always do your best, when you go to bed at night, you can give yourself a hug. I did my best today. Even if you botched it. Even if you got fired or laid off, you did your best. And you can't do more than your best. So when you wake up in the next morning, you have no regrets. You just always did your best. Another area of power is building powerful relationships. You know, this one has been totally life-changing for me. The people I associate with and the people I have let go of, the people I have said no to, the people I have said I, and you don't have to say it meanly when you shed somebody, and I mean that, shed the negativity of a negative relationship. You don't have to hurt them. You don't have to burn a bridge, but you do have to build powerful relationships that support you, and you have to align with people you respect. The fourth area of power is gaining power through your ideas. What that means is become an expert in something. If you're not an expert in your job and every day you feel like an imposter, you've lost power. That was me in my 18 years of corporate. I never felt powerful. Never. I felt helpful. I felt beneficial. I felt productive. I felt well paid. But I never felt powerful in my work. And now I do. There's power in my work, power to transform, power to heal. And that's because I've become an expert in things that I care about deeply, and I have turned that into a teachable point of view. Number five is using your natural talents and gifts. So you want to pursue those talents that come easily. There's power in that. So many of us are in jobs that don't tap our natural strengths, and that's a mistake. That's going to make you hate your job, hate your career. When you're using those talents that come incredibly easily, you have power because you're gifted. The universe gave you, if you want to think of God giving it to you or the universe, I think the universe gave us those talents so that we could be powerful in the directions that matter to us, right? And the sixth area of power is aligning your personal mission with your professional goals. The key is to connect the dots. What role can you play that no one else on this planet can play? Planet can play. I love that alliteration. All right, so what do we do here? Excuse me. How do we power up? How do we gain access? And again, I'm talking to your internal power from your spirit, from your heart, from your soul, from who you are, from your natural gifts, and external power, connecting with situations, opportunities, people, and relationships who have more power than you, right? Like when my friend Sean at Acor said, Kathy, would you be an affiliate for my happiness program? And he's done it with Oprah. And so I said, yoo-hoo, yeah. And they sent me an Oprah contract. That gives me power. I've got it right here. I've got an Oprah.com contract on my desk. I want to frame that. That gives me power. Why? Because I'm one step closer to an incredibly powerful entity that I deeply respect, that it allows me to see that, well, I'm an affiliate of Sean's program. Maybe I can build an Oprah course, a course with Oprah. Why not? I can dream. And that gives me power. So how do you do it? Evaluate, number one, evaluate areas in your life where you feel less than. And I guarantee you, your emotions are the key to that. Your emotions are going to tell you. Where does your emotion feel bad? You know, there's someone in my family who isn't getting along with another family member who's in her life and is important in the family. Pardon me. And, you know, this family member said, I've been wronged by this person and I'm mad. And I see how she can see that. but I can tell that it gives her pain. So we were talking about it. I said, you know, you can open your heart a little and forgive her. And she wrote me back, no, I'm not doing that. I have to protect myself. I feel like she's losing power doing that. You don't protect yourself that way. Forgiveness is a way into power. So just look at your emotions. Where are you feeling less than powerful, less than masterful, less than in control? I mean, I had the biggest dose of that when I got laid off. I would say that next week, literally, I can say this at age 55, I lost all power then. That was as powerless and victimized as I'd ever felt in my life, and I made a decision. I will never feel this way again. Number two, get to the heart of the root of that. Why are you powerless? You know, when I look at how I was raised, there were lots of ways my power was seeped out of me. I don't mean just by others, but others were involved, absolutely. I mean by how I thought about things, how I let people treat me, how I didn't speak up. There was a root, and it was from childhood, and I bet you if you look, you're going to see some roots that go back. The third step to powering up is determine the one top area in which your boundaries need to be enforced. Where do you need to speak up? Just like Sue Marie did, she said, you know what, I'm going to go in and ask, Mike, how would it be if you had someone who could do this? What do you need to say? And who do you need to say it to? Did I talk about this? We interviewed on our podcast, our Best Work, Best Life podcast, Neha Sangwan, she's a doctor. And what she sees is very, very serious illnesses are almost invariably exacerbated or contributed to or initiated because the person hasn't said what they needed to say. Isn't that amazing? And I believe that. I see chronic illness everywhere. I see it all around me. I had it. I was thinking about how much healthier I am now, knock wood. And part of that is I work from home and I sleep when I need to sleep. I'll sleep till 10 in the morning if I have to. My body always needed sleep, but in the corporate life, I could never get it. I could never get the over 8 hours I needed. Well, that was a boundary I needed to assert. And other people need 4 hours of sleep. Well, that's them. I need a lot of sleep, and I'm sick and miserable if I don't have it and depressed. Well, I had to assert that. Pardon me. I had to assert a boundary that I have got to get the rest and restoration I need. Right? What conversation do you have to have? What boundary do you have to assert and enforce? And the fifth step, oh, pardon me, I have a little frog in my throat. I'm going to have a big cough. Hang on 1 minute. Thank you. We have to address the consequences of speaking up. Your life will change. Your life will change. People who are used to stepping on you aren't going to dig it, you know? Your life, your family, your whole life is a system, like a mobile hanging from the ceiling. When you pull down one piece of it, the whole mobile moves. That's what your life is. So when you start powering up, there are consequences. You know, I've had conversations with my mother after my father died that were intensely difficult. But there was a fallout from it. I finally said what I needed to say. But we have recalibrated and, you know, 2 years have passed and we have a completely different relationship. So, yeah, you've got to address the consequences. Because there will be some, but your life will be so much better. So, healthy boundaries. Where do you feel disrespected? Where do you feel devalued? Where do you feel unappreciated? That's a boundary problem. And where are you enmeshed? Man, I struggle with enmeshment still. Because I was enmeshed with my mother, and that stuff does not die easily. I created relationships with my kids that were enmeshed. I'm aware of it. I every day do my best to disentangle from being enmeshed. What I mean by that is you don't kind of know where you end and the other person begins. The damaging part of being enmeshed as a parent is while it might look very loving on the outside, it's crippling, literally. That's a harsh word, but it's crippling to your children because you don't let them live their life. You're kind of living through them. You've got to know where you end and they begin, and they have to know where you end and they begin in order to live the life they're meant to live. So enmeshment, if you were enmeshed with your parents, you're most likely enmeshed with your kids. And, you know, read my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, about, you'll learn all sorts of tips about that. So going forward, 2016, I feel like it's a powerful, magical year. It already has been for me. I really feel like let's make this the most amazing, powerful year. And to do that, you need the right kind of help, and you need to shed the wrong kind of help. So I want you to look at everybody in your life. You look at this course, look at the people in this program, look at your friends, look at your family, look at your tribe, look at your colleagues and your boss. You need the right kind of help. The right kind of help is people who want you to grow and succeed and be all you can be. They don't want to keep you down. They don't get snarky when you brag and say something wonderful. You know, their cup is filled up. They don't have to tear you down. They, number two, think you're the expert about your life. They're not the expert about your life. You know, I share as an expert in this course, I feel I'm an expert on career and life transformation, but I'm not an expert in your life. You know, I had a client, I've mentioned this client before, I love her. She's gone through one of the most tragic things. Her grandchild is, you know, kind of fatally ill. And she told me, we had a session, and she told me that a therapist had told her she needed to grieve. She hadn't grieved sufficiently. And so I went off on a tangent and said, yeah, I really think that would be helpful to you. And she pushed back and she said, I don't want to grieve. That doesn't feel right. And I'm not, he's not dead, my grandchild. That doesn't feel right. And I said, okay, but I'd ask you to reframe it. What grieving is sadness for what you're experiencing, for what your family's doing. And she pushed back. And she wrote me, I want to sign up for another 10 sessions, and I've loved our work, but you need to please promise me you won't tell me I need to grieve. It's, that word doesn't work for me. You know what? I totally respect that. And I love it, and I told her so, that she said that to me. It doesn't work for her. She's the expert in her life, not me. But you need to know that you're the expert. You need to know if somebody tells you to do something that feels wrong, nope, thank you, but I'm not doing it. It's not right for me. You have to trust your instincts and respect your values, and the right kind of help does that. They trust your instincts, and they respect your values. And finally, the right kind of help sees the future vision of you before it's hatched. It knows, these people know what you're capable of, and they see it. And when you don't even believe it, they see it. That's the kind of help you need. All right? So think about, who do you need to let go of? What do you need to say? What conversation do you need to have? And how can you power up? Because I promise you, when you learn how to do this, particularly with number one, self-mastery, your life is going to change so quickly, you're not even going to know what happened. Kind of like Sue Marie. She just got the best project in the entire company. I do believe that's from stages of evolution, that amazing things don't just drop in our laps. They don't. They do when you've done the work, when you're ready, when you've expanded. Then they start dropping in your lap, but you've done the work to be ready for it. All right, my friends, who's got a question? Who's struggling with power? And this can be in your personal life, in your relationships, in your marriage, as a parent, anything. Because, you know, when you have, here's the deal, in your career, you're not just a separate person. Everything that you're going through in your personal life is bleeding over and vice versa. So if you're not powerful in any domain of your life, it is showing up at work. It's showing up in your career progress, in your career evolution. So talk to me. Raise your hand. Start to. Talk to me about where you don't feel powerful, where you don't feel you have a voice, where you're stuck in a relationship that isn't allowing you to be an equal partner in power. I see this in a lot of marriages. I see this in a lot of boss-employee relationships. Let me talk to you about power. So let me go to the Q&A. Let's see who's got a question. Yay! All right, I really want you to send me questions, folks. Send them, or raise your hand. We have 25 minutes. Let me help you. Maggie. Hi, Maggie. Happy New Year. Maggie writes, as it relates to enmeshment, is it possible that the person I'm in the relationship with isn't stopping my growth and independence, but that I'm stopping my growth and using the relationship as a roadblock to not move forward? Ooh. How do I get out of that mindset if I want to continue the relationship because the person falls exactly into the right kind of help? Wow, Maggie. Let me read this again. Is it possible that the person I'm in the relationship with isn't stopping my growth, but that I'm stopping my own growth? Yeah. It's incredibly possible. So tell us more. Why do you think you're stopping your own growth, and how are you using the relationship as a roadblock? You know, let me just say, we humans find every reason in the book to stop our own growth. We're afraid. We're not courageous enough. We weren't trained to believe in ourselves. Well, there's a million reasons we stop our own growth. I stopped my own growth in my coaching business. Not meaning to. It's not conscious. We're not consciously stopping our growth. Consciously, we think we're ready. We're ready to fly. It's subconscious. There are blocks. There are fears. You know, we've talked about why we're afraid of success. It might mean that, I've got to move, or I have to speak up more, or it might mean that I have to become a public speaker, or it might mean that I have to really be transparent. You know, there's a million reasons we stop our own growth. So, Maggie, tell me, why do you think you're stopping? What's behind you thinking you're stopping your own growth? And how are you using your relationship? All right? I'll wait back for an answer on that. So I see Milica here. Milica, hi. Thank you for writing. So you write this: I had it all once in South Africa. Why am I struggling in the UK? I don't think it's only me, Kathy. I think it's so important to say this. My mom and dad were the most important motivators in my life. We often say in this course that a family had so much to do with our framing. But I have a real issue with the UK society, not my childhood. I really think I became somebody I don't like in the UK. I think this society has an amazing influence on you. Holy crow! I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. Society and the culture that you're in has an amazing, powerful influence. That said, Milica, before we leap off and say, yeah, UK is to blame, I would want to help you dimensionalize this, dig deeper. Let me give you an example of exactly what I mean. I live in a town called Wilton, Connecticut. I am not in any way, shape, or form in love with Wilton, in that there's a lot of people with millions of dollars and a lot of different values from me. It's not the wealth, per se, that I'm not connected with. It's the values that I see, how they raise their kids, that it's all about getting into Harvard and Yale. Not everybody, of course, but there's a lot of stuff I don't see. So I'm making Wilton, let's say, the UK here. So I said, why are we here? Because the education's phenomenal, and my kids now are out of the high school, and they're into college, and they were prepared brilliantly. And we're moving now because this is not my thing. However, when the kids were little and we decided we were going to be here because of the schools, I said, I can focus on what I hate about this town, or I can put my blinders on and focus on the 5 or 10 people that I adore in this town, that are motivating, that are inspiring, and I'm going to build relationship with them, and I'm going to focus on what I love and focus on the people I love. So just because Wilton has a lot of folks that I don't relate to, that doesn't mean every person I don't relate to. And it's been fantastically successful. I have some wonderful, wonderful friendships here. And so I would ask you to look at what you're struggling about in a country, because the UK, like the US, is a melting pot. It has a lot of different people, incredibly multicultural. Tell me what you think isn't working. And let's make sure that you're not chalking up a problem to a society like the UK, when in fact there's other things going on. That said, yeah, geography makes a difference. So if you feel like you had it all in South Africa, can you go back to South Africa? Do you want to? But these are questions you need to ask, and we need to figure this out. And for any of you dealing with a very deep issue that needs to be peeled, don't forget Laura Neff is an amazing ACP coach. She's here for you. Have sessions. Have multiple sessions. The value is tremendous. Sign up. You can find that on your ACP support page, okay? Milka, I'd have you look at that, okay? Awesome. Oof. And Kim from Colorado. Hi, Kim. Happy New Year. Kim says, what if the issue is the opposite of enmeshment? I felt or feel disconnected from my parents. I've closed myself off and have difficulty connecting. I think of myself as logical and objective, but am seen as distant. So, beautiful question. In therapy training, I learned that boundaries are on a scale. And you can look at it as a scale of 1 to 10. Number 1 is incredibly disconnected. Rigid boundaries. Nothing's getting in, nothing's coming out. You know, boundaries are the invisible barrier between you and your outside systems, and your boundaries regulate the flow of input and output. So one is incredibly rigid, disconnected, and there are people who are like that. And, you know, one way we look at it in parenting is sometimes, for instance, a dad or a mom can have a high-powered business life, leave at 6 and 5 in the morning, come home at 9 at night, and they are completely disconnected from their kids. They don't have any idea of the internal state of their children or their wife or husband. That's rigid boundaries. Nothing's getting in and nothing's coming out. The opposite is a number 10, totally diffuse. Everything's getting in. You don't know where you end and the world begins. You're catching every ball that's thrown at you. If somebody looks at you the wrong way, you're devastated for a day. You will not let people around you live their own lives. You're projecting your stuff onto them. So it's a gradient, right? It's a scale. It's a gradation. So when you say you feel disconnected from your parents, there's something that's a paradox to me. You say, I feel disconnected. I've closed myself off. But I think of myself as logical, but am seen as distant. It sounds to me, Kim, like you purposefully disconnected from them, purposefully closed yourself off. And if I'm getting you correctly, you might have done that to protect yourself. Maybe the way you were treated by them hurt you. And in order to protect yourself, you closed yourself off. That is something beyond a boundary. If that's true, I would ask you to look at that. Have you closed yourself off as a way to protect yourself? And is it working? You know, we learned in therapy something called emotional cutoff, that some people grow up and they're having such emotional conflicts with their parents or their family that they move to the complete other part of the world. They'll go to Alaska, you know, and say, from Hawaii or whatever, just to escape, but what happens is they haven't escaped. You can't really cut off your emotions. It's with you. It's inside you. You have to deal with it. Am I making sense? Let me know if that is something you feel you have to look at. Logical and objective is fine, but are you being distant, and is there a reason for that? All right, let me go back and see who's raised a hand. Start two. Now's your time, folks. Let me talk about it. Power. How do you get more? How do you get the right kind? How do you close your power gaps? I promise you, when you do this work, life changes. Life changes for the better because you feel like you are the master of your own ship. And that makes everything that happens completely different. All right, let's see. I'm refreshing my Q&A here. What do I have? Ah, Maggie writes, because I have a feeling I won't take the next step in my career, if I have to leave where I am, even though the place I am located is not working out. So why do you have the feeling that, well, let me read this again, because I have the feeling I won't take the next step in my career if I have to leave where I am. Well, can we reframe that? Why do you think that? Why do you think the UK is the only place for you? Oh, wait. Wrong person. Sorry. Who am I talking about here? That was Milica. Sorry, Maggie. Let me understand here. You're talking about enmeshment. Because I have a feeling I won't take the next step in my career if I have to leave where I am. Oh, I need to know more. Even though the place I am located is not working out. So you have the feeling that you won't take the next step if you have to leave. I really don't get it. Tell me more, Maggie. What's holding you back? So, you know, from what I'm gathering here, let me tell you, we tell ourselves stories. I told myself a story in my corporate life for years. You know, when I was really miserable at 40, I said, well, how am I going to do this? I make $150,000. My family needs it. My husband's a jazz percussionist. We need my 401k. I'm stuck here. We tell ourselves stories, but the stories are fictional. The stories aren't based in reality. They're based on everything we think we know, but we don't know everything. So if you're stuck, but you know it's not working out, you need to take the next step. You need to believe in yourself. I have the feeling I won't take the next step in my career if I have to leave where I am, even though the place I am located is not working out. Yeah. So can you turn that on its head? Can you look at that story you're telling yourself? You need to make a change. And, you know, it's really not as big a deal as we make it. We make it this huge megillah. You know, it's just a job. It's just the work you do. It's not the end of the world to take a step beyond where you think you are. But we have to make a change, right? Like, so for me, getting laid off, I promise you, it felt like the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. In fact, it's the beginning of a new world. So we make it so doom and gloom and so big. It's time to take a step. It's time to take a step toward that career vision. What does that vision look like? And what do you have to do to go get it? Am I making sense? Do you believe me? Ooh, this is good stuff. Kim writes, yes, you hit it, Kathy. I'm protecting myself. Now, this is about boundaries, the opposite of enmeshment. No, it's not working. What you said hits the heart of it. I need to address this in therapy or even some healing. I will be reaching out. Oh, Kim, I'm so glad. No, not that you're dealing with this, but that this hit a chord. You know, it's interesting. Having trained as a therapist and been a therapist, then been an energy healer, then doing this for 10 years, I feel like there's almost no emotion that I haven't had. There's almost no human experience. I mean, there's terribly deep crisis and abuse that I have not had. And I, on that note, I want to share with everybody, you're all on my list, and I hope you'll read in my email list the email that I sent out today about hope and healing. I am a part of a telesummit designed for people who've been abused and have trauma in their childhood. It's called The Journey to the Heart, and it's hosted by Svava Brooks, who's beautiful, just a beautiful person. We just connected recently, but she's brought together 21 therapists, healers, authors, experts, all who deal with some form of helping people overcome trauma and abuse and pain. And it's free. It's absolutely free. 21 video summit, 21 videos, and I'm one of those experts. But if you've had any abuse, and you know, a lot of people don't want to call what they've had abuse, but there's emotional abuse. You know, I've had it. A lot of people on this planet have had it. And we grow up protecting ourselves. And Sava talks about this, and I talk about this in the video that I do with her. We grow up needing to survive. So we protect ourselves any way we can. And I'm talking about physical sexual abuse, but I'm also talking about emotional abuse. If you are told to shut up, if you're told you can't talk to me like that, if you're told don't challenge me, I'm your parent, you know, if you're hit, if you're, you know, hitting, violence is the most terrifying abuse for children. And sexual abuse where your boundaries are completely violated and you're a child. You don't have a way to protect yourself. So we grow up learning what it takes to survive. The problem is what we've learned doesn't work as an adult. You know, it carries over. So if this speaks to you, healing is what is being called to you. And, you know, and here's, I've talked about this, often the trauma is lodged in your energy system and it doesn't come out, it doesn't get released through talk. You actually need an energy healer. And if any of you feel that, Lynn Carroll is the one to go to. The Therapy Space, I've shared the info with you, and I believe she's on our support page. If not, let me know. She is such a gifted healer, such a gifted healer. So if any of you feel like that, that I'm blocked, I'm stuck, I know my life isn't what it needs to be, because I need some healing, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And kudos to you for knowing it, right? You know, I feel like every human being can benefit from healing. Thank you, Kim. Thank you for being so honest and looking at that. So appreciative of that. So Julia from Melbourne writes, hi, Julia. Happy New Year. Writes, Kathy, would love to know more about the teachable point of view you have mentioned in the last couple of calls. Can you provide some info? Absolutely. So I learned this when I was teaching a graduate class at NYU about managing inclusion and cultural diversity. And it's Noel Tishy, I believe, who wrote the book about having a teachable point of view and that leaders need to do this. And so let me explain what I mean. When you are approaching something that you have some expertise in, what is incredibly valuable is if you pull yourself out of the mode of being expert and you look at what is your point of view, what is your frame of reference, what is your model for change, what is the way you're looking at this that can actually help somebody? What can you teach? And when you start looking at what is my teachable point of view, and there are components to it, you know, I'm going to go find the article I wrote about having a teachable point of view. I wrote something on it in Forbes. There are elements to it. You look at what you value, you know, and how that drives decisions. You look at top priorities, right? And how priorities drive action and decisions, right? You talk about if you're in a crisis mode, what is the one thing you're going to be focused on to help you get out of that mode? You look at the vital few. I wrote an article about this. I interviewed a great guy, a great author about this. What are your vital few goals that you're looking at that have helped you succeed? What's your point of view that can be taught that will help people move forward? And from the minute I believed I had a teachable point of view, my life changed. And I didn't have a teachable point of view in my corporate life because I didn't feel I was an expert in anything. I didn't focus on anything deeply enough to have an expertise that was teachable. You know, I really didn't feel I knew anything about leadership. I didn't feel I knew anything about communication or the work I was doing or marketing. Yeah, it all came easily to me, but I didn't have a teachable point of view. I didn't know how I would teach or could teach about anything. It was only until I became a therapist and then started learning about everything that had broken me down. Then did a year-long research study to get out of myself. Here's another thing. If you want to be an expert in something, don't just look at yourself. Interview people who are doing the thing that you admire. And when I did my book, and I think I've told this story, when I was writing, this was like 2 or 3 years into my therapy training, I wanted to write a book about what women are going through in the workplace. So I wrote a book proposal that was like a little workbook. But I thought it was great. I met with this huge editorial consultant who was like Wayne Dyer's editor years ago, and she said, this is not your big idea. This is not it. This is like a workbook. You need to go out and research. And I thought, what does she mean, research? I know everything there is to know about. Well, I didn't. That's a narcissist, ego view. So the next day I had this thundering realization I could speak to 100 women across the country about professional crisis, how they get there, and how they overcome it. And I did that in a year. And by interview number 32, I'll never forget it, I started to see patterns. It wasn't just random data. Patterns started emerging. And those patterns became my book and the model for change you're hearing here. So after doing all that research and after becoming a therapist, I started to think I might be able to teach something. So I started to break down, what I was seeing. And that became my teachable point of view. We all have it, but there are steps you have to take to develop it. But I am going to dig out more on what goes into a teachable point of view, and I will share that on Facebook. And, I do want to say, for any of you who want to become a coach or who want to be a coach in your own career that isn't coaching, if you want to have more coaching impact, I want you to know I'm launching this month a coach certification program, and I just filmed 4 free videos on how to build a six critical steps to building a six-figure coaching business fast. And I talk a lot about that, building your thought leadership, what's required. So even if you're not interested in coaching, you might want to just download that 4 free video series because it's good for really, I think, anyone who wants to launch a business, any entrepreneur who wants to make an impact in people's lives. I think you're going to learn something on that. I hope that was helpful. Let me know, Julia. Let me know what teachable point of view you're welcome. What you want to actually work on. What thought leadership do you want to be known for? And let me help you with that. Let's have that be part of this program. All right, my friends. Anybody got anything else? Yay. Is that Nancy?
Yes.
Hi. Happy New Year, Nancy. How are you?
Happy New Year to you, everyone. I have a quick question, and it's going to be a weird one, but
no weird question.
Is it ever just a bad idea to just come clean at work and say, this isn't working, and just see where it goes? Because you just said something earlier today, when you say what you need to say, your life becomes easier. So is it ever a good idea?
I love this question. Love it, love it, love it. And I'm going to say this. Yeah, sometimes it's a bad idea. Why? Because you want power in what you do. So let me give you an example. If I were working for you, Nancy, what would you rather hear from me? Nancy, I need to have a conversation. Yes, Kathy, what is it? This job isn't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thriving in it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm bringing my best self to it, and I don't think I'm doing the job that you want from me. Okay, that's version one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's version two. Nancy, can I have a conversation with you? Yes, Kathy, what is it? I've thought long and hard about the role I've been this past year and what I want going forward in 2016, and I really would love to share some of my thinking about this role and my fit for it and a new direction that I think would be better for me.
Okay.
Could we have some time to talk about it?
Okay.
Do you feel the difference between those two?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. If you feel that the new direction would mean it would cost the department more money, because we need to split the job in half or reorganize, and you know that that's not going to go over well, do you still have the conversation?
So here's what I would say to you. What you have to remember in every work relationship is the bottom line is, what is it going to, how is it going to impact the organization?
The organization.
If that move will be better for the organization, then of course they'll listen to it. But you have to prove that it'll be better for the organization. Mm. For instance, if you're simply saying, I suck at this job, well, then they're going to fire you or move you out or put you in another job. I don't think you want to say that. I think you want to say, let me be really clear. If the changes you want to make are only in your best interest and they're not in the organization's best interest, they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they? That would be bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, that what you want, you could tailor the change to be better for them, then they'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're telling yourself a story that it's going to cost them more money and be worse for them. I think you're, you know what I think is going on, Nancy? You feel so badly that you're not good at this job. You just can't brainstorm that there could be something better for you and the company. Is that right?
Something better for me outside the company or inside the company?
Inside this company.
Inside the company.
No, let me get it. Let me tell you what I really mean. I think that there's probably something you could craft. Well, let me even take a step back. Why do you not go get another job?
I've been networking a bit. I've been sending out resumes. My firm is going to have an internal networking event next Tuesday. I've been talking with everyone I can think of and thinking of other ideas. Nothing has really presented itself. Not even an interview.
Not yet. So I think there's a deeper issue here.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think you're connected to your power and feeling good. I think opportunities might be presenting themselves if you felt differently about yourself. Is that possible?
Possibly.
So I think we need to work on that. I think there's a number of pistons we got to work on for you so that they're all firing. One is how to present yourself to get differently, more powerfully, more excitedly, so you don't feel, you know, less than. That's one thing. The second thing is, sure, if it's going to take you time to find the right thing outside of this organization, then why not craft a solution that's going to be win-win within this company? And then it buys you a little time. But you would have to craft it in a way that they would be excited to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just come in and go, this isn't working, they're not going to be excited to help you.
Right.
So if you have time and money, call Laura. Laura Neff. She'll help you. She'll help you craft what is it that would be a win-win.
Okay.
So that it would be exciting for them, not, oh, God, what a problem. Hey, make sense?
Okay. She'll help me with even the toughest of bosses to craft this?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, if she'll even help you if the boss is terrible and hates you, yeah, maybe it's not the best thing to do.
Yeah, he doesn't hate you. He's just a stone wall, so it's just hard.
Yeah, I think she'll help you dimensionalize that, evaluate it, and if it's going to be career suicide, then you're not going to do it.
Okay.
But I think an outside perspective is going to help you with that. Is he like that to everybody, Nancy?
Pretty much.
So Laura's listening to this call. She'll build on this. But if I were working with you, and she'll do the same, what you want to understand is, when is he not a stone wall, and how and why, and then you're going to go in and intervene at that level. But if it's just he doesn't like you, and he's never going to bend for you, then it's probably not a great idea.
Mm.
But she'll help you with that. Sound good?
All right. Sounds very good. Thank you, everyone.
What fantastic questions. Thank you so much for being here. And here is to 2016 being your year of finding the powerful you and doing what's required to heal, to move forward, to make the right decisions. Let's keep going, and I can't wait to see you next week. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
The moderator.